Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
This is the Mormon Channel's Q&A. We receive your questions, and we answer those questions. You can email us anytime, anywhere, at radio@ldschurch.org. We received an email from Maxine in France. Maxine wrote, "I'm having a hard time understanding what faith is. Can you help me?" You bet we can, Maxine. The Apostle Paul taught in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Alma made a similar statement, "If ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true." Faith is a principle of action and power. Whenever we work toward a worthy goal, we exercise faith. We show our hope for something that we cannot yet see. President Gordon B. Hinckley in the October 2006 General Conference talked about faith and the church as a whole.
From the beginning, this church has moved forward with faith. Faith was the strength of the prophet Joseph. I'm grateful for the faith that took him into the grove to pray. I'm grateful for the faith to translate and publish the Book of Mormon. I am grateful that he went to the Lord in prayer that was answered with the bestowal of the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthoods. I am grateful that in faith he organized the church and set it on its course. I thank him for the gift of his life as a testimony to the truth of this work. Faith was also the moving power behind Brigham Young. I often reflect on the tremendous faith he exercised in bringing a very large number of people to settle in Salt Lake Valley. He knew very little of the area. He had never seen it except in vision. I suppose he had studied what meager information there was, but he knew almost nothing of the soil or the water or the climate. And yet, when he looked upon it, he said without hesitation, "This is the right place, move on." And so it has been with each of the presidents of the church. In the face of terrible opposition, they've moved forward with faith. Whether it was crickets destroying their crops, whether it was drought or late frost, whether it was persecution by the federal government, or more recently, whether it was an urgent need to extend humanitarian aid to victims of the tsunami or earthquakes or floods in diverse places, it has all been the same. Welfare shelves have been emptied. Cash by the millions has been dispatched to those in need, regardless of church membership, all in faith.
That was President Gordon B. Hinckley. In order for faith to lead to salvation, it must be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can exercise faith in Christ when we have an assurance that he exists, the correct idea of his character, and a knowledge that we are striving to live according to his will. Having faith in Jesus Christ means relying completely on him, trusting in his infinite power, intelligence, and love. It includes believing his teachings. It means believing that even though we do not understand all things, he does. Because he has experienced all of our pains, afflictions, and infirmities, he knows how to help us rise above our daily difficulties. John 16:33 tells us that he has overcome the world and prepared the way for us to receive eternal life. He is always ready to help us as we remember his plea. "Look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not." Elder Robert D. Hells in the October 2004 General Conference talks about faith in the Savior.
The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The very fact that you are viewing, listening to, and reading the proceedings of these conferences means that you are hearing God's word. The first step to finding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to let his word spoken by his servants, the prophets, touch your heart. But it is not enough merely to let these words wash over you as if they alone could transform you. We must do our part. For as the Savior himself taught, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, hearing requires an active effort. Faith without works is dead. It means taking seriously what is taught, considering it carefully, studying it out in our minds, as the prophet Enos learned. It means letting others' testimonies of the gospel sink deep into our hearts. Let us review some of the elements of Enos' profound faith-building experience. First, Enos heard the gospel truths from his father, just as you are hearing them in your families and in conference. Second, he let his father's teachings about eternal life and the joy of saints sink deep into his heart. Third, he was filled with a desire to know for himself whether these teachings were true and where he himself stood before his Maker. To use Enos' words, my soul hungered. By this intense spiritual appetite, Enos qualified himself to receive the Savior's promise. Blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Fourth, Enos obeyed the commandments of God, which enabled him to be receptive to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Fifth, Enos records, I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him. Yea, and when the night came, I did raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. It wasn't easy. Faith did not come quickly. In fact, Enos characterized his experience in prayer as a wrestle which he had before God. But faith did come. By the power of the Holy Ghost, he did receive a witness for himself. We cannot find Enos-like faith without our own wrestle before God in prayer. I testify that the reward is worth the effort. Remember the pattern. Hear the word of God, spoken and written by his disciples and servants. Let the word sink deep into your heart. Hunger in your soul for righteousness. Obediently follow gospel laws, ordinances, and commandments. And raise your voice in mighty prayer and supplication, asking in faith to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. I promise that if you do these things sincerely and unceasingly, the words of Christ spoken to his disciples would be fulfilled in your life. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Once we find the beginnings of faith in Jesus, our Heavenly Father allows our faith to be strengthened. This occurs in many ways, including through the experience of adversity. An acquaintance of mine recently wrote, we lost a 2.5-year-old grandson to leukemia. My children still haven't taken his crib down. It will soon be 7 years since he died. It's hard to have faith. I lost a friend who was 69. He had 3 different cancers in 10 years, which went into remission twice. First, they found it in his kidneys, then in his brain, then in his lungs. He couldn't fight it any longer. He tried everything humanly possible, and 6 years ago, found faith, but not an extra day. So I guess it's hard to believe. This appeal to me for faith was written with an answer that went as follows. Your family story of the loss of your grandson to leukemia was touching. Hopefully you and your children will find peace used to seek answers to the purpose of life. Our faith is acquired through prayer, with a sincere desire to draw close to God and trust in Him to bear our burdens and give us answers to life's unexplained mysteries of the purpose of life, where we came from, why we're here on earth in mortality, and where we're going after our mortal sojourn on earth. All is well with your little one, because he died before the age of accountability of 8 years of age, and he is in the presence of God. Seek faith, and may the blessings of God be with you. Isn't it interesting that the one who is suffering often gains faith through suffering and accepts the Lord's will, "Thy will be done," while family members and caregivers may have a difficult time accepting the tragic outcome and being able to strengthen their faith from the experience? We cannot measure faith by an extra day. When the challenges of mortality come, and they come for all of us, it may seem hard to have faith and hard to believe. At these times, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His atonement can bring us peace and hope and understanding. Our faith that He suffered for our sakes will give us the strength to endure to the end. When we gain this faith, we experience a mighty change of heart, and like Enos, we become stronger and begin to feel a desire for the welfare of our brothers and sisters. We pray for them that they too will be lifted and strengthened through faith on the atonement of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Elder Robert D. Hales, you're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. Remember to set it as one of your favorites so that you can come back often. And if you have a question for the Mormon Channel, you can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. We received a letter from Maxine in France who wrote, "I'm having a hard time understanding what faith is. Can you help me?" Maxine, faith is more than a passive belief. We express our faith through action, by the way that we live. The Savior promised in Moroni chapter 7, verse 33, "If ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me." Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can motivate us to follow His perfect example. Our faith can lead us to do good works, obey the commandments, and repent of our sins. Our faith can help us overcome temptation. Alma counseled his son Helaman, "Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will work mighty miracles in our life according to our faith." Faith in Jesus Christ helps us receive spiritual and physical healing through His atonement. When times of trial come, faith can give us strength to press forward and face our hardships with courage. Even when the future seems uncertain, our faith in the Savior can give us peace. In the April 2008 General Conference, Elder David A. Bednar talks about faith in our prayers.
The classic example of asking in faith is Joseph Smith and the first vision. As young Joseph was seeking to know the truth about religion, he read the following verses in the first chapter of James. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Please notice the requirement to ask in faith, which I understand to mean the necessity to not only express, but to do, the dual obligation to both plead and to perform, the requirement to communicate and to act. Pondering this biblical text led Joseph to retire to a grove of trees near his home to pray and to seek spiritual knowledge. Please note the questions that guided Joseph's thinking and supplicating. Quote, "In the midst of this war of words and tumult of opinions, I often said to myself, what is to be done? Who of all these parties are right, or are they all wrong together? If any one of them be right, which is it, and how shall I know it? My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the churches was right, that I might know which to join." Close quote. Joseph's questions focused not just on what he needed to know, but also on what was to be done. His prayer was not simply, which church is right? His question was, which church should I join? Joseph went to the grove to ask in faith, and he was determined to act. True faith is focused in and on the Lord Jesus Christ and always leads to righteous action. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that faith is the first principle in revealed religion and the foundation of all righteousness, and that it is also the principle of action in all intelligent beings. Action alone is not faith in the Savior, but acting in accordance with correct principles is a central component of faith. Thus, faith without works is dead. The prophet Joseph further explained that faith is not only the principle of action, but of power also in all intelligent beings, whether in heaven or on earth. Thus, faith in Christ leads to righteous action, which increases our spiritual capacity and power. Understanding that faith is a principle of action and of power inspires us to exercise our moral agency in compliance with gospel truth, invites the redeeming and strengthening powers of the Savior's atonement into our lives, and enlarges the power within us whereby we are agents unto ourselves. I long have been impressed with the truth that meaningful prayer requires both holy communication and consecrated work. Blessings require some effort on our part before we can obtain them. And prayer is a form of work and is an appointed means for obtaining the highest of all blessings. We press forward and persevere in the consecrated work of prayer after we say amen, by acting upon the things we have expressed to Heavenly Father. Asking in faith requires honesty, effort, commitment, and persistence. Let me provide an illustration of what I mean and extend to you an invitation.
Elder David A. Bednar. We're talking about faith. This is the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Faith is a gift from God, but we must nurture our faith and keep it strong. Faith is like a muscle. If exercised, it grows strong. If left immobile, it becomes weak. We can nurture the gift of faith by praying to Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. As we express our gratitude to our Father, and as we plead with Him for blessings that we and others need, we will draw near to Him. We will draw near to the Savior, whose atonement makes it possible for us to plead for mercy. We will also be receptive to the quiet guidance of the Holy Ghost. We can strengthen our faith by keeping the commandments. Like all blessings from God, faith is obtained and increased through individual obedience and righteous action. If we desire to enrich our faith to the highest possible degree, we must keep the covenants that we've made. We can also develop faith by studying the Scriptures and the words of Latter-day prophets. The prophet Alma taught that the Word of God helps strengthen faith. Comparing the Word to a seed, he said that the desire to believe can lead us to give place for the Word to be planted in our hearts. Then we will feel that the Word is good, for it will begin to enlarge our souls and enlighten our understanding. This will strengthen our faith. As we continually nurture the Word in our hearts, with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. Alma 32, verse 26 through 43. Elder Richard G. Scott in the April 2003 General Conference talks about the fruits of faith.
God has given us the capacity to exercise faith, that we may find peace, joy, and purpose in life. However, to employ its power, faith must be founded on something. There is no more solid foundation than faith in the love Father in heaven has for you, faith in His plan of happiness, and faith in the capacity and willingness of Jesus Christ to fulfill all of His promises. For some, faith is not understood and consequently not used to full advantage. Some feel that any discussion of religion and the guidance one can receive through robust faith has no rational basis. However, faith is not illusion nor magic, but a power rooted in eternal principles. Are you one who has tried to exercise faith and have felt no benefit? If so, you likely have not understood and followed the principles upon which faith is founded. An example will illustrate what I mean. Years ago, I participated in the measurement of nuclear characteristics of different materials. The process used in an experimental nuclear reactor, designed so high-energy particles streamed from a hole in the center of the reactor. These particles were directed into an experimental chamber where measurements were made. High-energy particles could not be seen, but they had to be carefully controlled to avoid harm to others. One day, a janitor entered while we were experimenting. In the spirit of disgust, he said, "You are all liars, pretending that you're doing something important. But you can't fool me. I know if you can't see, hear, taste, smell, or touch it, it doesn't exist." That attitude ruled out the possibility of his learning that there's much of worth that can't be identified by the five senses. Had that man been willing to open his mind to understand how the presence of nuclear particles is detected, he would have confirmed their existence. In like manner, never doubt the reality of faith. You'll gather the fruits of faith as you follow the principles God has established for its use. Some of those principles are trust in God and in His willingness to provide help when needed, no matter how challenging the circumstances. Obey His commandments and live to demonstrate that He can trust you. Be sensitive to the quiet prompting of the Spirit. Act courageously on that prompting. Be patient and understanding when God lets you struggle to grow, and answers come a piece at a time over an extended period. Motivating faith is centered in trust in the Lord and in His willingness to answer your needs. For the Lord doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in Him. The consistent, willing exercise of faith increases your confidence and ability to employ the power of faith. You can learn to use faith more effectively by applying this principle taught by Moroni. Faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore dispute not, because you see not, for you will receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. Thus, every time you try your faith, that is, act in worthiness on an impression, you will receive the confirming evidence of the Spirit. Those feelings will fortify your faith. As you repeat that pattern, your faith will become stronger. The Lord knows your needs. When you ask with honesty and real intent, He will prompt you to do that which will increase your ability to act in faith. With consistent practice, faith will become a vibrant, powerful, uplifting, inspiring force in your life. As you walk to the boundary of your understanding, into the twilight of uncertainty, exercising faith, you will be led to find solutions you would not obtain otherwise. I testify that I know that is true.
That's Elder Richard G. Scott. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question that's gospel-centered or you want to comment on this show, you can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. We received an email from Maxine in France who wrote, "I'm having a hard time understanding what faith is. Can you help me?" Well, Maxine, we've given you some general conference quotes. We've shared a little bit about faith. Now let me read to you what it says in the Bible Dictionary. Faith is to hope for things which are not seen but which are true and must be centered in Jesus Christ in order to produce salvation. To have faith is to have confidence in something or someone. The Lord has revealed himself and his perfect character, possessing in their fullness all the attributes of love, knowledge, justice, mercy, unchangeableness, power, and every other needful thing, so as to enable the mind of man to place confidence in him without reservation. According to Romans chapter 10, faith is kindled by hearing the testimony of those who have faith. Miracles do not produce faith, but strong faith is developed by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, faith comes by righteousness, although miracles often confirm one's faith. Faith is a principle of action and of power, and by it one can command the elements and or heal the sick, or influence any number of circumstances when occasion warrants. Even more important, by faith one obtains a remission of sins and eventually can stand in the presence of God. All true faith must be based upon correct knowledge or it cannot produce the desired results. Faith in Jesus Christ is the first principle of the gospel and is more than belief. Since true faith always moves its possessor to some kind of physical or mental action, it carries an assurance of the fulfillment of things hoped for. A lack of faith leads one to despair, which comes because of iniquity. Although faith is a gift, it must be cultured and sought after until it grows from a tiny seed to a great tree. The effects of true faith in Jesus Christ include an actual knowledge that the course of life one is pursuing is acceptable to the Lord, a reception of the blessings of the Lord that are available to man in this life, and an assurance of personal salvation in the world to come. These things involve individual and personal testimony, guidance, revelation, and spiritual knowledge. Where there is true faith, there are miracles, visions, dreams, healings, and all the gifts of God that he gives to his saints. Jesus pointed out some obstacles to faith in John 5:44 and John 12:39 through 42. The most complete and systematic exposition on faith is the Lectures on Faith prepared for and delivered in the School of the Prophets in Kirkland, Ohio in 1832. That comes straight from the Bible Dictionary. If you want more information on faith, you can look up the Bible Dictionary and look under the topic heading of faith. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Q&A, and we're answering a question that we received from Maxine in France, who wrote, "I'm having a hard time understanding what faith is. Can you help me?" Well, Maxine, let me give you a couple of statements that were given by Elder Boyd K. Packer back in the 60s. Elder Packer states, "There are two kinds of faith. One of them functions ordinarily in the life of every soul. It is the kind of faith born by experience. It gives us certainty that a new day will dawn, that spring will come, that growth will take place. It is the kind of faith that relates us with confidence to that which is scheduled to happen. There is another kind of faith, rare indeed. This is the kind of faith that causes things to happen. It's the kind of faith that is worthy and prepared and unyielding, and it calls forth things that otherwise would not be. It is the kind of faith that moves people. It is the kind of faith that sometimes moves things. Few men possess it. It comes by gradual growth. It is a marvelous, even a transcendent power, a power as real and as invisible as electricity. Directed and channeled, it has great effect. But faith must be faith. One man tried experimenting with faith. He had spoken of his certainty that an event would transpire, and his desires were not brought to pass. The event he so much yearned for did not happen. Afterward, his bitter comment was, 'Well, you see, it didn't happen. I didn't think it would.' In a world filled with skepticism and doubt, the expression 'seeing is believing' promotes the attitude, 'You show me, and I will believe.' We want all the proof and all the evidence first. It seems hard to take things on faith. When will we learn that in spiritual things it works the other way about, that believing is seeing? Spiritual belief precedes spiritual knowledge. When we believe in things that are not seen, but are nevertheless true, then we have faith." The second quote from Elder Packer was given at BYU. Elder Packer states, "I recognize two kinds of faith. The first is the kind which is apparent in the world. It is the common denominator of most everything that goes on. It is the thing that lets us exist. It is the thing that gives us some hope of getting anything done. Everyone has it, some in larger measure than others. The second kind of faith, remarkably rare, unusual to find, is the kind of faith that causes things to happen. Faith is a power as real as electricity, except 1,000 times more powerful. Now, did you ever exercise faith? Exercise it. Practice it. Now, did you ever exercise faith? Exercise it. Practice, you see. Not just take it for granted. When you look at yourself, ask yourself, how faithful are you? It is a first principle of the gospel according to the Lord. Is it a first principle of the gospel according to you? What an amazing quote from Elder Boyd K. Packer. Maxine, our thanks to you for writing in. Thank you for your question about faith. Hopefully we've been able to answer your question. If you have a question about the gospel, feel free to drop us a line at radio@ldschurch.org. Or you can even comment on the program that you've just heard. You're listening to The Mormon Channel at radio.lds.org. Thank you so much for listening. Coming up next, another edition of Classic Conference Talks here on The Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to The Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.